today's title is The Walls of Our Life Are Both Physical and Mental. Why do we build them around ourselves? Now, I'm not sure whether you've had the chance to hear my recent podcast that was entitled Bridges and Tunnels, and you can certainly find that on Intentional Growth Leadership on iTunes, and you could even subscribe to that and catch up. But which one are you, a bridge or a tunnel? I wrote and published that story as we presently sit in our modern world of quarantines, social distancing, and self-isolation during these days of the infamous dreaded coronavirus, aka the Wuhan virus, aka COVID-19. I continue to think of the times that we are experiencing and came up with another thought that we are living and experiencing, and that is of walls. We have lived with both physical and mental walls for thousands of years. So for those of you who know me, I had to do a deep dive of research. What follows is the result of my research, as well as the additional thoughts that prompted through my training and my education. And to note for emphasis that I was seeking to better understand the self-imposed walls that so many of us appear to be walking around as a result of this virus. Well, one thing is for sure, walls are back in fashion, both walls and fences. They come in all shapes, designs, sizes. Walls and fences are certainly physical things, and let's not leave out that they can be very imposing, and a good deal of their power comes from elsewhere. They are things of the mind. The Germans, who seem to have a name for everything, use the phrase Mauer im Kopf, meaning wall in the head, to refer to this phenomenon. The Berlin Wall was a very lethal wall which kept the city of Berlin divided and formed part of the Iron Curtain. And even though it may have been torn down years ago, is still intact in the minds of many of the people, and thus they still feel divided, even though the physical part of the wall no longer exists. Walls can be spectacular as architectural structures, but they can be even more fascinating as entities that inhabit our thinking and shape cultures. Walls then are not built for security, but for a sense of security. The distinction is important, as those who commission them know very well. What a wall satisfies is not so much a material need as a mental one. Walls protect people not from the barbarians, but from anxieties and fears, which can be more terrible most often than the worst vandals. In this way, they are built not for those who live outside them, threatening as they may be, but those who dwell within. In a certain sense, then, what is built is not a wall, but a state of mind. A wall is something to rely on, something standing right there in front of you, massive, firm, reassuring. And with walls come mental comfort, tranquility, and even a vague promise of happiness. A guarantee that, after all, there is order and discipline in the world. Walls make things look clear and distinct. In fact, seen from space, the Great Wall of China is one of the very few indications that the Earth is inhabited by rational beings. Walls can also block one's view, but that should not be such a big problem, especially when one wants to hide. At closer inspection, a wall occasions a dual process. On one hand, by building a wall, I try to hide myself, to live in its shadow, and even to seek to make myself invisible. While on the other hand, however, it is precisely by building it that I come to disclose myself in a decisive manner. Through the erection of the wall, I expose myself totally. My secret fears and anxieties can now be contemplated in all of their nakedness. A wall is, above all, the admission of a fundamental vulnerability, which provides a point of view of those who are left out, the walled-off people. For a wall is always perceived as an invitation. Interesting. It's a way of putting things in a more tempting light, of making them desirable. A wall signifies that someone has got something precious and that the others should and want to know about it. Depicting a desire, though, because someone else already has it. And this explains why walls are so attractive and why they are also besieged. Eventually being torn down and apart because they are just irresistible. Going back in history, it took the Ottomans several generations to breach the walls of Constantinople, and by thus doing, they broke through into what was then known as civilization. Walls are built for various reasons and they serve different purposes, but their function is always fundamentally the same: to create divisions, to prevent people and ideas from moving freely, and to legitimize differences. Once the wall has been erected, it acquires a life of its own and structures people's lives according to its own rules. All those walled off now have a purpose: to find themselves, by whatever means it takes, on the other side of the wall. When Hadrian erected the wall in what is today northern England, it is in the second century, all of those left north of it discovered an interesting new destination, that of getting south of the wall. When the Berlin Wall was built up in 1961, people in East Germany must have suddenly realized that there was a place absolutely worth going to, West Berlin. And for almost 30 years, that wall fueled their desire to be on the other side. For many of them, this desire was so irresistible that they had to give in, whatever the risks. Enough died trying. A wall is always a provocation. If a wall comes down in one place, you can bet it will go up somewhere else. Walls define the parameters of privilege. Walls addresses, of course, psychological insecurity. A wall is a fallback position. Walls, barriers, borders, boundaries all serve strong emotional functions deep within our psyche. We seem to be experiencing the rapid expansion of gated communities these days, indicating the growing need many already feel to be surrounded by ramparts. And yet, gated communities are also emerging as a worldwide phenomenon due to the fears of crime and victimization. Now, I'm going to pause here for just a moment to cite a movie that took place back in 2013, World War Z, where a major wall in Israel was thought to be sufficient to keep the zombies out, and alas, it didn't. But you'll need to watch that movie to see how things worked out, so I won't spoil it for you moviegoers if you haven't seen it yet. But if you did see it, you'll know exactly what I'm referring to, as you can build the biggest walls, but they don't always keep out that with which you're looking to keep out. So just as walls serve as barriers, they become blank canvases as well. And here again, I'm going to pause in the name of graffiti. How many walls have you gone past, especially if you're from New York, where you have seen all sorts of intricate designs and graphics and words and art called graffiti on the outside of the wall? Someone else's wall, and yet defaced on the outside. So now that I have given you this introduction, I'm going to ask you the question. Why do some people build walls around themselves? For some people, the term walls may bring up associations to do with the physical walls of a house or walls that divide one garden from another. However, the walls that I'm really diving into are not physical walls. They are not visible to the eye, and yet this doesn't mean that the impact they have is any different. If on one side there are walls, on the other side there would be nothing. Here would one would feel wide open and completely vulnerable. Boundaries are not the opposite of walls. When one has strong boundaries, there will not be the need to have walls and feeling wide open, as one would if they had no boundaries. So there are actually two experiences that take place. The person with no boundaries will have walls, and it is likely that there will be moments when they feel wide open. Alternating between the two will then be a part of life. The walls give them the feeling of complete protection, and without them, they can feel extremely vulnerable. What walls do is create the feeling of being protected. And though having these, and through having these, one will feel safe. The problem with having walls is that not only do they keep everyone out, they also keep one locked in. One ends up creating their own prison, self-imposed. So whatever the positives are, they are soon outweighed by the negatives. Logically, it's clear and makes sense that walls are no good, but as it is primarily our emotions and not logic that dictates one's life, logic does not make much of a difference here. And if one cuts themselves off from others through having walls, it's going to lead to all kinds of consequences. Relationships will suffer, and as this happens, one will also suffer. Isolation and feelings of being alone and cut off are also likely to occur, and trust in others will not exist or will not greatly exist. And without those relationships, the relationships are not going to be possible. Because even though one is trying to protect themselves from others by having walls, all that ends up happening is the creation of more pain. The human need to connect and to be with others is actually being violated here, so this can only really lead to more pain and suffering. But in order for this to be the case, something needs to have happened that is causing one to go against their own natural need to connect and be with other human beings. And in order to understand why this may be, we need to take a look at how the ego mind works and how past experiences can shape how one sees the world. And so I'm just going to quickly go through the ego mind here because it seems to be logical at first, as this is because it doesn't function on what makes one happy or what is functional. It works through what is familiar, and what is familiar is what is associated as being safe. Once something is interpreted to be safe, though, being familiar, the ego mind will hold onto it and won't want to let it go. Now, this could be a way of seeing life and other people or a way that one behaves, and what is classed as familiar can be functional and healthy, or it can be dysfunctional and unhealthy. And when it is dysfunctional, like in the case of building walls, it will inevitably create problems. Problems, problems, problems. So if one has built walls around themselves, it is for a reason. And the reason is that it was for their own survival. At the time of their creation, they allowed one to stay safe and cope with a situation or situations. In fact, thinking of situations that hadn't even occurred yet. At the time, it could be described as positive and even a necessary thing, but the trouble is that over time, it has just led to pain and separation from other people. Notice I keep talking about pain and separation from other people. Once this way of being has become associated as what is safe to the ego mind, life will continue to be perceived that same way. What this means is that once one has had an experience or certain experiences that lead to these walls being created, it will become the model of how life is for us. One will then end up creating the same experiences over and over and over, and the same patterns will be played out. It's almost like Groundhog Day or a Catch-22 scenario. So what may have happened with one person or a few people during one moment or even a certain period of time will become how life is and how everyone is. And as the ego mind works in absolutes, it will edit out anyone that does not fit the associations that it has formed around people. The experiences that created this outlook have become what reality is, and there is now no other way according to the mind. People that are respectful of one's boundaries and aware of such things are unlikely to be attracted into one's life. And unless they are a doctor, for example, and people who one was to have an appointment to see. The cause of these walls could have been through what happened to one as an adult, or it could have been the result of one's childhood years, these traumatic experiences, that have not been looked at, and yet one ends up being controlled by them. And then we have boundary violations, and whether an adult or a child, it leads to boundary violation, where your personal space was not respected, leaving you wide open and vulnerable. Again, dealing with the ego mind, creating associations and emotions of being trapped in the body. And then there's an awareness. One has to deal with this in some way. It will be highly unlikely that one will allow their walls to come down unless one can be feeling safety, to be who they are and to be in their body, that nothing can really change. And that might just be enough to change the ego mind, but it might take hypnotherapy, it might take other processes. Of course, I'm not qualified to go into that. The important thing, though, is that one listens to themselves and see what works and what doesn't and how long it will take, and it will depend upon many, many factors. But you've got to be ready to let go and follow the therapy that is involved. But there is psychological resistance, and it's like an invisible wall that stands between the aspiring individual and the actual self, desperately trying to figure out who they want to become. I can go on and on ad infinitum with this, but when it comes to the psyche, people don't know what they don't know. And in terms of resistance, they don't want to know what they don't know. And we just continue to discover these undercover facts. It's human nature, that inner barrier that causes people to act against their best interests. So, to make a long story short, I've gone into what physical walls are, and then I've discussed mental walls, mental barriers. The resistance may take on different disguises. It may be inner conflict that produces anxiety, procrastination, indecision, psychological defenses such as cynicism and passive-aggressive reaction, and unwillingness to consider new ideas, a passive tendency to allow good intention and willpower to collapse, a narrow focus on minor details or secondary issues that obscure the big picture, a strong identification with our old flawed self, and a stubborn willingness, perhaps, to do what's in our best interests while having an unconscious determination or even compulsion to produce self-defeat and self-sabotage. So, in my story today, as I say, I've discussed the physical walls and I've discussed the mental walls. I will use myself as an example. At any given time and due to my specific personality traits, I can build walls like that, especially if I don't want to get involved in something or if something is so hard that I put up a wall because I won't have to realize that I could end up being defeated if I don't allow myself to get through that wall. And on any given day or time, those walls can come and go at a moment's notice. I also looked up a few things as well, and it reminded me of that classic Pink Floyd song, A Brick in the Wall. And if you have some time, you might want to go listen to that. You might want to do some research on the Berlin Wall. I even pondered on something from my childhood. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. I don't know if you want to allow the walls to cause you to have that fall, which will not allow you to be put back together again. And there's also a YouTube video that I came across by Lewis Tomlinson, which is entitled Walls. And I will be posting that on my Facebook page. So as we close, once again, the walls of our life are both physical and mental. Why do we build walls around ourselves? I hope today was a bit of an insight into what walls can be. And clearly, again, if you haven't heard my most recent podcast or my most recent video on walls and tunnels, they kind of are going hand in hand. And that's why I have published these back to back. And my next one, actually, believe it or not, is going to be something on colors. and how they impact our lives. So until next time, Bob DiGiacomo, Intentional Growth Coaching. I'm going to get a sledge and I'm going to go knock down some walls. Make it a great, wonderful, significant rest of your day. All the best.